Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgive the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities,
your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble.
The epistle is from 1 John, chapter 4. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Give ear to my words, O Lord.
one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the epistle which was read a few moments ago, the fourth chapter of the first letter of St. John. The one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has seen. And the gospel for this Sunday has to be one of the most familiar parables of Jesus, painting as it does such a vivid picture of the rich man and the poor Lazarus, what life was like for them in this world and the next. And this gospel we can, in a sense, think of as a commentary on St. John's words. The one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. It's strange what things we remember in life. I remember how when I was a little boy, I was always a bit puzzled as to what it meant when Jesus said that the rich man feasted sumptuously every day. Feasted sumptuously. And when I asked about it, the answer I remember getting was this, that for this rich man, every day was like Thanksgiving Day, with far more food and drink than he could possibly need or even want. His clothing, well, that was understandable enough, clothed in purple and fine linen. And when I got a little older, I learned that purple and fine linen were exceedingly costly fabrics which only very rich people could afford. So there is the rich man. And then there is Lazarus, a poor beggar laid at his gate, at the gate of the rich man's splendid home, in the hope that this rich man, perhaps his friends, might take pity on him. Jesus speaks of how poor Lazarus hoped to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table, the crumbs which fell from the rich man's tables. Those were not crumbs as we think of them, but they were in fact pieces of bread that people used in eating to scoop up the food. Then they used these same pieces of bread to cleanse their hands, and then they threw them under the table. Lazarus hoped that perhaps he could share in that. And completing the picture of Lazarus' misery is the fact that dogs running in the streets came and licked his sores. And so there we have Lazarus. But then comes that complete reversal in the hour of death. Poor Lazarus dies. This name Lazarus is in fact the only proper name that appears in Jesus' parables. And the name Lazarus means God is my helper. God is my helper. And what this name then tells us is that despite his poverty, Lazarus in fact had the true riches because he trusted in God. And so in the hour of death, the holy angels come and carry his soul to Abraham's side, an expression which means that Lazarus shared with Abraham the joy of the heavenly banquet. And what about the rich man? Jesus says only this, that he died and was buried. In preaching on this parable, that great preacher, St. John Chrysostom, says that even when the rich man was alive, his merciless soul was already buried by couches, rugs, furnishings, sweet oils, perfumes, large quantity of food, and by flatterers, buried. In death, the rich man is in misery. In his misery, he begs Abraham to send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool his tormented tongue. And then he begs Abraham to send Lazarus to his five still living brothers so that they can avoid this same terrible fate. What we need to notice is that the fate of the rich man and Lazarus after death only reveals, only unveils the state of their respective souls in this life. Yes, even in the torment of Hades, the rich man continues to see Lazarus as nothing more than his servant, one who will help cool his tongue and warn his brothers. The rich man's suggestion that his brothers would repent if somebody came from the other side of death, Abraham can only reply that if the rich man's brothers pay no attention to the call to repentance issued by Moses and all the prophets, they'll not repent, even if someone were to go to them from the dead. And how true that is shown in the fact that when Jesus did in fact raise another man named Lazarus from the dead, that Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha of Bethany and a dear friend of Jesus. When Jesus raised that Lazarus from the dead, the reaction of Jesus' unrepentant enemies was not repentance, but becoming even more determined, quite simply, to arrest and kill Jesus at the earliest opportunity. In this, we see the truth of the Savior's words. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. The Lord Jesus told this parable to the Pharisees, who were apparently great lovers of money, who, as Jesus says of them on another occasion, devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Jesus is calling them to repentance, just as St. John does in the epistle for this Sunday, where he says, "The one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." And here we are again reminded, as we were last Sunday, of Cain, who killed his brother Abel. And when God said to him, "Where is your brother?" Cain's response was that question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" am I my brother's keeper? And as I said last Sunday on Trinity Sunday, that disdainful question is so much at the heart of the whole sad and tragic story of Adam's lost and fallen race. In so many ways also today, people keep on asking, am I my brother's keeper? And so on this Lord's Day, we are again being called to repentance. And we have been shown the consequences, in fact, the eternal consequences, of hardening our hearts to that call. Because of our sins, each one of us must also become a Lazarus, meaning one who trusts God and his mercy. How great God's mercy is, how great his love. For you see, God's eternal Son himself became like Lazarus, cast out of the city, covered with terrible wounds, nailed to the cross, exposed to the hateful gaze of his self-satisfied and disdainful enemies. All that so that you and I might not be cast out forever, but with poor Lazarus come to the paradise of God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And now we stand and offer our prayers both for the church and for the whole world. Let us stand and pray. Almighty and most merciful God, we thank you for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. And we pray you so to implant your word in us that in good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth fruit by patient continuance in well-doing. Lord, in your mercy, grant to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine and faithful pastors who shall preach your word with power. Help all who hear rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to all the heathen and to the people of Israel. In mercy, remember the enemies of your church and grant them repentance unto salvation. Lord, in your mercy, bestow your grace on all the nations of the earth, especially our own land with all its inhabitants and all who are in authority, especially the President and Congress of the United States, together with the governor and legislature of this state, and grant that mercy and truth, justice and peace may everywhere prevail. Lord, in your mercy, be the God and Father of the widow and of the fatherless children, the helper of the sick, the dying, and the needy, the comforter of the forsaken and the distressed, and of all who are in any adversity, especially all those for whom our prayers are desired, and all persecuted Christians. Lord, in your mercy. And as we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour shall come, support us by your power and receive us with all your saints into your everlasting kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let us now sing hymn 501. Hymn 501.